All right. Good evening, everyone. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are going to cover conference call number 10 tonight, which is all about staging, photography, and marketing remarks. Tonight's a great session because a lot of you who are on the call have asked me many questions about how do I properly stage, what should I consider, should I stage it, should I not stage it, what do you think I should do? And also I get questions a lot about photography. We've had some experiences in our office that I think many of you can take from and not make the same mistake again. And then as far as marketing remarks, I am going to give you a book that you could purchase that may help, or a couple sheets of things that you may want to consider when you're writing words or considering what to write on your marketing remarks. So we'll go from there tonight. Just brief housekeeping things. If you have a question after the call, you can just simply send me a text at 206-947-0811. And I will be going to record this, so if there's something that you missed, you know, be sure and ask for the recording afterwards. So we'll start with the staging. A lot of people, staging is a very big thing right now. In fact, there are companies now that will virtually stage just about any room. So you could tell them that you want it staged. So you always have that option, but you also have the ability to work with a staging company that will make the room appear much more exciting and inviting. And ultimately, staging does help you sell the property, and it could potentially sell the property for more money than you would typically not get if it wasn't staged. So you may want to consider it with some of your listings coming up. There was a property in Bellevue we had that was not staged, and it was one of our agents who had listed the property, and it was their own personal residence, and one of the things they wanted to consider was a staging company. And unfortunately, they contacted somebody that we had on the resource guide, and this particular individual it was so busy during the summertime that they stager was not able to make the appointment. Most staging companies, if you know them, if you've worked with them before, they'll accommodate your special request. They'll make it a point to show up and look at the project before committing to do the staging. On average, staging will cost your seller or yourself approximately $1 a square foot of what you want staged. So if you had, say, an 800-square-foot space, you could expect $800 for the staging. And that's pretty good. You may have an in-and-out fee where there's a move-in and then rental after that. But to stage a property, that's about what you can expect to pay. So people have often shied away from staging thinking, well, my goodness, I don't want to do staging because, you know, it's super expensive. When you look at it, you know, if I spent, and I did spend $800 to stage my dad's property, it's an investment property in Tacoma, I had a light staging done, so it wasn't like the whole house needed to be staged. I had about 800 square feet worth of staging, you know, kitchen, dining room, little living room area, and a bedroom, 800 square feet of space. And the invoice that I paid on it was $800. Now, I would have had to pay more if the property didn't sell. If I didn't price it right and didn't market it right, it would probably sell on the market, and then I would be renting the furnishings from the stager, which would add to the cost. So if your goal is to get it sold in 30 days, if your goal is to price it right, if your seller is on board or the seller is okay with paying for the staging beyond the 30 days, then it might be worth your while to look at the staging companies that we have on our resource guide and make a phone call. Most of them will come out and do a free consult, or, I mean, I've got stagers that I know that I just will take some shots of on my iPhone and then send the shots to them, and then they'll kind of give me a bid of how much they think for staging, and then I can work with that with my seller into the budget. Some companies that you go up against for a listing, they may offer to stage for free, and you need to know who those competitors are. We have agents in our office who incorporate or have experience in staging there. Some of them are even interior designers, and they actually do that for their sellers as a complimentary added benefit of working with them as their listing agent. So there are many people out there that have that experience and know-how, and you may be up against them when you're going in for a listing appointment, and you, if you don't offer it or you don't talk to it or you don't say, hey, I've got some staging expertise or I have a staging consultant that we use at Best Choice Realty, you may not get the job. You may lose the listing to somebody else who does have those resources or has that skill set to be able to pull it off. So don't negate the fact that there's a lot of people out there that do it. Most of our agents who do incorporate staging into their marketing proposal, what I usually see them do is they include a Form 18 along with their Form 1A, and they spell out what type of staging that they're going to do, who they're going to contract with, who pays for that staging. Some of them pay for the first month. Some of them do all of the staging themselves. But it's clearly spelled out on the Form 18 in the other section. So if you are going to be doing staging, I would ask you to spell out who pays for what on that. There's a lot of gray area when it comes to staging, and I want to make sure that the sellers have the right expectation from you and from our company on what we will and will not do for the cost. So another question I get is, Rochelle, do I do staging? You know, do I need to? I mean, this home in Tacoma that was my dad's investment property, I could possibly have not staged it and perhaps got, you know, because of the price point, I perhaps would have got multiple offers, but I didn't want to risk it. There were other properties that were on the market at the time that had staging and they were priced in that starter price point. So how did I know whether I wanted to include staging or not? What I did is I did a search around the property that I was going to be listing. I went on the MLS, and as I was looking for comparables, I was also looking at the photographs when I was looking at the comparables, specifically the active comparables, but also the sold and the pending, because if those properties that were still staying on the market were staying on the market not because of price but because of pictures or condition, those properties might have been better off not being listed, clean up the property, then stage the property, and then put it on the market, and they probably would have sold in a quicker timeline. So we do know that from all of the studies that we've done in the past 10 to 12 years that staging will help you sell a property faster. That is a given. So clients are able to visualize. That's the reason why builders have a model home, because clients and buyers don't really see new construction in the same light, but when they have a model home to walk through and tour, they become very excited about the product. And so we do know from those types of experiences and the studies that we've done on this particular issue that staging, we could probably make the claim that you could net more, but then it skews the numbers when you start, you know, going out, you know, some people pay a lot in staging, and so it's not really comparable to compare apples to apples on something like that. But we do know that by staging a property, it helps you sell the property faster. So with my dad's investment property in Tacoma, we knew that by staging the property, we needed an offer before we went into the winter season, and we wanted to get that offer sooner rather than later, and so we opted to do the staging. So a couple things to remind yourself about. You know, staging does not cost as much as you would think. You know, a dollar per square foot kind of rule of thumb. Look at your comparables to determine whether you should stage or not to stage. And also look at the resource guide, and there are some good references you can use if you don't have the staging experience or staging background. We have had some of our agents gone so far as to use their garage or use a storage facility and store some light staging, and that has worked, but I would think that your time is best spent actually not staging, but connecting with a stager who you know. There are many different levels of staging. There are stagers that will stage like what they call vignette, which means they don't like come out and put a whole sofa and love seat and coffee table. They may do a chair and make it appear homey and not go to the expense of renting all of this furniture. Or there's some that do that, and they do rent their furniture, And then above that, they actually have staging companies who actually have warehouses full of different types of furniture. And these are the types of stagers that builders or developers use to stage their model homes. So depending on your price point, depending on the comparables that you're seeing that you're competing with, and depending on whether your seller or you have the budget to do so, and it meets the timeline, the objective of getting the home sold in a certain amount of time, you may want to contract with one of our stagers. And there are varying degrees of staging out there. So if you don't get what you need from one stager, be sure and contact another. And if we don't have enough people on our staging list on the resource guide, I need to know that as well. I've met with all of the stagers that are on the resource guide, and I've used them in the past. So you're welcome to use them or drop the name that my designated broker has used your services in the past. And they will often give you a good rate, and they'll often give you the right advice as to what to do or their process. Moving on to photography. So when you're looking at photography, there's several things to consider with photography. I do not want to see any of our listings at Best Choice Realty with cell phone photos. It's just not appropriate, not with the name that we have in the industry as Best Choice. I had an agent, he's no longer with the company anymore, who took a listing out in Falls City, it was a while ago, and he listed the property, and the seller called me, and she was very excited about the listing and about Best Choice taking it, but she said, "Rochelle, could you take a look at the photos? You know, do you think these are good photos?" And I honestly had to go back to her and say to her, "No, I do not think the photos are good. I think we need to send a professional photographer out to your property to take some professional photography." And then what I did is I contracted with one of the guys that we had, and I just took it out of our agent's commission. And I did that because we needed to save the listing. The seller obviously brought it to my attention that she wasn't happy with the photographs, and therefore I had to take matters in my own hands because it definitely did not look good. And when I went to the agent and said he was really upset that I took the money out of his commission, I went to him, reminded him that this property sold because of the efforts that I took on his behalf. He was upset because he said, "Well, the market's moving so fast. I don't need to take professional photographs. I just took them on my cell phone." And I said, "Well, let's pause there for a moment. Your seller was not happy with the work that you were providing for the services you rendered. And so therefore, we had to had a professional go out there." Now, the professionals I have on the resource guide are not that expensive. I think there are other companies that they use that are twice as much as what we've got our photographers set at. You can certainly, you get what you pay for. And if you want drone and you want high D type of photographs, or you need add-ons like single property websites that are connected with the photography, or tours that zoom in and zoom out and that type of thing, those obviously that additional thing can be done, but really good stills at a minimum need to be done. If you have a good, you know, Canon or Nikon digital camera, I can see you doing that, and it does make sense in certain price points to take your own photos. But I do not want to see cell phone photos out there for Best Choice Realty. And I try to catch those as much as possible and put you in connection with one of our photographers that will do a great job. The other reason not to take your own photographs is because there are people who will do it for a lot less, and they will know the angles. Not being tied to the property, the photographer has a way of knowing which angle to take, how to get the best lighting. There are times where we could take, say you had a nice camera, not a cell phone, but you took a picture of the property and the lighting wasn't just right. We could send it to an editor, and the editor would actually edit the property for $5 a photo. After I ended up paying a professional and having that issue several years ago, I realized that there are some companies out there that can help with photography that's not so great. And so that's what we've done with a few of the listings where we don't want to have to go and pay for a professional because it is a good market, but we don't want our listings to look really sloppy either. So we've opted to contact this company, and what they will do for $5 a photo is touch it up, bring in more lighting, work with the original photograph that may have been placed on the MLS to give us that nice, crisp image that we're looking for. So we have done that a few times with recent listings here at Best Choice. With the photography, things to consider if you are doing your own photographs and it's done on the cell phone, say I just took my photographs of, I have a manufactured home that's my son's tutor that I put on the market. Now obviously, because it's $60,000, there's not enough to just refer that business out to one of you. And so I went ahead and took the photographs myself with my Nikon camera. Even then, I wanted to keep a few things in mind. So number one, open up all your blinds and your windows so that the light comes through the window. You'll have much better light on the furnishings, and the house will appear larger when you open up the windows or the blinds. The curtains, make sure you pull those back so the light comes in the windows. Don't leave closed. It looks dark and it looks dingy at times when you guys keep the windows closed, the window blinds or the shades. The other thing to keep in mind when you're taking the photographs yourself or helping the photographer is to make sure that when they take the front photo, that they take it from the angle of the front door. We don't want more garage. We want to try to get that front entrance, you know, or an angle which is very appealing to the house, not so much garage, more of the front door. So if you have a choice, that usually is the best approach. Also, considering when your photographer goes out to the property and how the house is positioned. The house, when you take the front photo or the front shot up for your listing, usually that's your main shot, right? You want to make sure that the sun is hitting the front of the house. My house right now that I'm at, the shot would have been best taken in the morning when the sun was hitting the front. Now my neighbor's house, where the sun's setting on the front, would be appropriate to take it right about this evening or late afternoon when the sun was hitting it. So if the photographer is not able to come out at that certain time, what I often do is I do take a few 4 to 5 additional shots of the front of the house from different angles. And the reason for that is because whenever I do a price reduction, I do a marketing, change my marketing, change my remarks, change different things, I also like to refresh my front photo or refresh my main photo. So even though the photographer took their main shot, I will also have several shots that I can refer to if I need to incorporate that with some new marketing. It might be good also to have some different view. If you have a view home and it's winter here, sometimes the leaves don't look as great, and you can use photography from your client as long as you get their permission. There's copyright infringement laws that are being fought right now at the MLS. So be very careful when you go to your seller and you say, where did you get these photographs from? Please provide me with proof or a receipt showing that you paid for the photography. If they were used from a prior listing, or they were used from the prior list from a prior real estate agent, or they were paid for by another agent, you want to be very careful about that and make sure you get some sort of release from that other agent to use the photography that your seller is providing you. You don't want to have a complaint filed against you, or worse, a copyright lawsuit that is being fought right now. There are two companies that are actually fighting with Zillow, actually, that have said that Zillow has taken their photograph without their permission and put it on the websites. So you may want to confirm that it's okay to use that photo. If the seller did say, you know, I took the photo myself, and there's that trust factor, just realize that, you know, you're walking a really, really thin line if indeed they got it from somebody else. Okay, so with photography, think about some of that. There was a real estate agent in our office who decided to take their own photos of this property. It was a split-level home, and they did appear dark, and we didn't catch it, and the lighting didn't get changed, and it sat on the market for about a month. If this particular agent would have hired a professional to take the photographs with the better lighting and with the better front shot and inside, that agent probably would have got the home sold in the first weekend. As it was with those photographs, it did not bring as many people to that listing, and therefore there was only one, maybe two offers rather than 5 to 10 like this area would have brought with better photos. So he learned a very important lesson to always hire a professional photographer to meet him at the property once the property is ready to go. His issue, or the reason why he didn't do it, was because he said that the photography, you know, he couldn't connect with the photographer soon enough to get the home on the market. It's worth it to wait a few days or wait a week just to get the professional photographs done. So if you do have to delay things because of that, I would highly recommend doing that and not make the same mistake this agent did. He ended up paying, I think it was $120 for the new photographs. But that $120 was the best money he spent, he said, because it generated two offers that next weekend. So, you know, the price point was a couple hundred, $250, $265, something like that, down in the Pierce County area. So, you know, if you're in a higher end area, what's a couple hundred bucks when you're getting commission on like 2 or 3% after everything's said and done? So make sure you're considering that when you're thinking about photography. There are some great photographers that we have. We have met with each one of them on the resource guide. Each one does a fantastic job, and we've been using them a lot with our top listing agents. Okay, the last thing we'll talk about is writing remarks. And writing remarks is probably an interesting concept. Before there was so much digital photography and so much staging that was done, back in the old days, all we had to go off of is the remarks. And so real estate agents that have been 20, 30 years in the business are actually really good at writing remarks. And I find that agents that are new to the business struggle with writing remarks. They have a hard time knowing what to say about the property. Most of them I see end up copying and pasting or going to an old listing and kind of reworking some of the verbiage that somebody else has used instead of coming up with their own marketing remarks. It definitely is a skill set that many real estate brokers do not possess. There are some things to consider with marketing remarks and hot words for your flyers and for your marketing. Things that are important is description of the, not so much the layout, has a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. I see a lot of that in some of the marketing remarks, which is not really necessary. When people start searching on the web, they're looking for a 2-bedroom or a 3-bedroom or a 4-bedroom. And by putting that remarks, you're not only using your word count because you're limited with how much words you can do, but you're also not really appropriately defining who your buyer is. Who's your demographic? What type of buyer would be interested in this particular property? I'm guilty of this as well. When I listed a property and I don't get an offer in, you know, the first month and I have to remark it, oftentimes I have intelligence, because I've been on the market for 30 days, of how I can redo my marketing remarks. But I always wonder when I redo it, I wonder if I would have got a buyer if I would have wrote what I wrote after I rewrote it 30 days later with the intelligence. For example, if I'm really catering to a first-time buyer or investor, am I really speaking to those hot buttons for them, like all appliances included? With a first-time home buyer, that's a big deal for somebody. So in those price points, you may want to consider including that in your remarks. But you don't need to be – it's not like a bullet point, 3-bedroom, 2-bath, 2-car garage. Well, obviously from the front photo, it's a 2-car garage. You know, don't use your word count in that way. Think about – and I used to be really guilty of just walking people through the layout. Walk into a front entry that an upstairs features or boasts a full living room with open concept. You know, it doesn't really, by describing the layout, it doesn't really resonate with the type of buyer or the demographic that I'm trying to appeal to. And then obviously there's some things that you cannot say, for you can't say, you know, within walking distance to the school. You can't say that because there again, that would be in violation of, you know, some of the important words that you can't use for violation of federal fair housing, which handicapped people don't have the ability to walk to the school. So you can't say walking distance to school. What you could say is minutes to or 5 minutes to elementary school, and let the person reading it make that conclusion. So be careful on your words and your verbiage on the marketing remarks. But here are some things to think about from first-time home buyers hot buttons. They like convenient neighborhoods. They like quiet streets. Those are some really good words, hot buttons that you can use that really are important for first-time home buyers. They like safety, they like comfort, and they like protection and security. Those types of words, convenient neighborhood, quiet street, words that describe the house in general, lovely, comfortable, clean, beautiful. I kind of cringe at the thought of you using great and good and nice. Those are not very good descriptive. Use some more descriptive words to describe the house in general. Words that describe the exterior of the house, instead of just saying backyard is fully fenced, maybe you want to describe the backyard. The backyard is shaded or is very open with light and bright. Things like that that can, you know, backyard is large enough for all your toys. That's interesting. You can, without saying it's a family home, you can definitely picture a trampoline or an RV out there or ATVs on that particular lot because of how big or large the backyard was. That's much more descriptive than just saying fully fenced yard. You know, that's just like a bullet point, in my opinion. Private, that's a good word to use. Another hot button for first-time homebuyers. Words that describe the inside. People love fireplaces, and I don't think they're often used in the marketing remarks as much as they should be. And if it's three bedrooms, never say two bedrooms. Just leave it open. You know, instead, you know, just indicate, you know, how spacious the room is. When you say cozy, that usually means it's small. So try to avoid cozy as much as possible. One person's cozy is another person's mansion. So try to avoid that word. And then all new or brand new, be very careful with how you say new, because that can be construed as having something new. I mean, if a roof, you could say newer, and newer would be, you know, up to the person reading it. Again, it's marketing, so it's how they interpret newer. So be careful with the brand new or all new when the property had a new kitchen like 2 years ago. That's not new. And then trade-up buyers, people that are looking to maybe sell their property and move up, they're looking for hot buttons would be esteem, prestige, status, neighborhood. All of those things are important to them. So they're going to want upscale. They're going to like gated community if you have one. They're going to like executive. They like that word. Elegant, luxury, cultured, grand, stunning. Those words are really good words for those move-up buyers. Also, they like professionally landscaped, professionally remodeled kitchen. They are looking for things like that. Huge private yard. They still like the privacy that first-time home buyers like. Or easy maintenance. They like that. They've gone from a large yard where they had like 2 acres to mow. Now they're looking to downsize, and so they're wanting more of a easy maintenance. That would be a good word to use. So you're looking for words like that when you write your marketing remarks, not so much three bedroom, two bath, great home, awesome neighborhood. That's pretty generic. You want to really think about how to impress those trade-up buyers, first-time home buyers, in looking at your particular property. Definitely say, you know, instead of just saying kitchen, describe the kitchen. Gourmet kitchen, impressive kitchen, stunning decor, open concept, not just say living room, family room. You know, make sure you're describing the space so that it works for them. Let me think what else here. I have a couple more things to run down. There is a book that has been super helpful. I lend it out in just about every office that I go to, and I regret it every time because the agent forgets to bring it back. So I've stopped lending it out because I use it all the time. It's a book that's called Pocket Ad Writer. And so if you struggle with how to write words or how to write advertisements on your postcards or your marketing remarks, you may want to just pay I think it's like $15 or $20. It's Pocket Ad Writer. And buy yourself a little book. It helps in creating or coming up with words that describe the property. And use the full, you know, I think you have a minimal amount of characters. So I usually start with a Word document or a notepad and just start typing away of different ideas that I have about the property after I toured it or after I received the photos. And then I use my marketing book, my Pocket Ad Writer book, to come up with a good marketing description. And then I might wordsmith it a little bit more once I get it on the MLS. But that's my tip for helping you guys with the marketing remarks. Don't forget that you also have the ability to describe the photographs. Underneath the photograph, on every photograph, you have the ability to enter a description. And that's a perfect opportunity to enhance your listing and give it some more words. And clients read those. Clients see agents that spend the time and put little write-ups under each photo as doing a really good job at marketing the home. So don't forget that you have that ability as well. With your marketing remarks, you can also, suggest that the client, if you're not very good at doing your marketing remarks, you may want to have your client bullet point out some of the key things that they liked when they bought it. I've had sellers pull out of their file the flyer when the builder sold them the home, saying, "Here, Rochelle, here's a list of all the things our house has." And then I'm able to really add to that and build a marketing remarks off of some of their input or the builder's input if I'm doing newer construction or something built in the 2000s or 1990s. They may even have an old flyer from when they bought it that I can use or I can glean from, take some ideas from. But it definitely helps sell the property. I know the difference when I rework something and then I get offers because I've changed the photographs, I've changed the staging, and I've done some different remarks. I'm appealing to a different demographic with that. And all of a sudden, you know, now we have a buyer. So ultimately that's our goal, is to get the more buyers and more interest in the property with our staging, photography, and marketing remarks. With that, I'll let you guys go. Hope you have a great night tonight, and we'll catch you next week, same time, same place.